Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 50, Verse 1, Krishna establishes Dwaraka. Asti praptischikam sasya. Mahesha Bharatar Shava. Mite Bhatri Dukarte. Iyatu Swapitur Krihan. Asti praptis shikam sasya. Mahisha Bharatar Shava. Mite Patri Dukarte. Iyatu Swapitur Krihan. Chan. Shri Shukra Vacha. Ashti Praptis Chakam Sasya. Nisha Bharata Shiva. Mite Patri Dukarte. Iyatu Swapitur Krihan. Shishuka Vacha. Asti Praptish Kam Sasya. Nisha Bharata Shiva. Bhartari Dukarte. Yatu Swapitu. Shishuka Vacha. Shishabhartashva. Mahisha Paradashava. Ite Patri Dukarte. Iyatisma Pitur Griham. Sri Shukra Vacha. Shukra Goswami said. Asti Prapti Cha. Asti Amprapti. Kamsasya of Kamsa, Mahishya, the queens, Bharatari Shava, O hero of the Bharatas, Pariksha, Mrite, having been killed, Bhartari, their husband, Dukha, with unhappiness, Arte, distressed, Iyatusma, they went. Pitu, of their father. Grihan, to the house. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, when Kamsa was killed, O heroic descendant of Bharata, his two queens, Asti and Prapti, went to their father's house in great distress. Mukamakarati vachalam bangam langate girim yaki pantamam bande sigram tintavinam. O magana timirandas yaganan shala shalakaya chakshur meritam yena tasamai shri gurave namaha. So Kamsa in his last life was known as Kalanemi, the great demon. In this life, he was born from Ugrasena's wife, but actually it was not Ugrasena's son. It was the son of a demon who took the form of Ugrasena to have sex with Ugrasena's wife. So he was actually a demoniac child. Even in his childhood, Kamsa was very strong, and he would regularly fight with great wrestlers. So, desiring to conquer all directions, Jarasandha who was the king of Magadha, he set up camp at different places by the side of the Jamuna. So this is where Kamsa, near where Kamsa was, Mathura. At that time, the elephant Kuvalayapida, who was as strong as thousands of ordinary elephants, became angry, broke his chains, and ran from Jarasandha's camp. Kuvalayapida went to the mountains and entered a wrestling arena where Kamsa was fighting. So Kamsa liked to wrestle. When the other wrestlers fled, the elephant approached Kamsa, who then grabbed him by the trunk and threw him to the ground. When Kuvalayapida attacked once more, Kamsa threw him into the midst of Jarasandha's army some 80 miles away. So Jarasandha was very impressed with his show of strength of Kamsa. Being very pleased, seeing this amazing display, he gave his two daughters, Ashti and Prapti, as well as the elephant, to Kamsa. So this is the history of the marriage of Ashti and Prapti to Kamsa, because Jarasandha was very impressed with the strength of Kamsa. And of course, they're of the same nature, demons, and so the match was good. As a dowry, Jarasandha gave 100 million horses. Do we have that many in the world? I guess we do. No, we don't. 100,000 elephants, 300,000 chariots, and 10,000 maidservants. So that was a dowry. Now in India, they are forced to give dowry, but they can't compare. Even the sweepers, they have to give 2 lakhs. Even the bhangis, they have to give 2 lakhs dowries for their daughter's marriage. So this is not the... It's only for the kshatriyas. So we'll go on here. Read verses 2. Pite magata rajaya jarasandhaya dukite vedayam chakatu sarvam atmavaitavya karanam. The sorrowful queens told their father, King Jarasandha of Magadha, all about how they had become widows. So that what I was telling about the history, that's from Garga Samhita. Garga Samhita has the history of all the demons, who they were in their past lives. Most of them actually were sages who made offenses to their gurus or somebody. But in this case, he was an out-and-out demon, Kamsa. Kamsa was a demon, birth after birth. So the queens, after Krishna killed Kamsa, the wives, they didn't do sati, but they went and complained to their father. Verse 3. Satat apriyama karnya shoka marshayuto riba ayadavim mahim kartum chakre paramamudyamam. Verse 3. Hearing this odious news, O king, Jarasandha was filled with sorrow and anger, and he began the greatest possible endeavor to rid the earth of the Adavas. So now he has become the enemy of the Adavas. Verse 4. Akshauhini pirving shatya tishipish chapisangrita yadurat jatanim mataram nyarutat savatodisham. With a force of 23 Akshauhini divisions, he laid siege to the Yadu capital, Mathura, on all sides. So one Akshauhini is 21,870 soldiers and elephants, multiplied that by 23. He brought 23 of those. 21,870 chariots, and he brought 23 of those. 65,610 cavalrymen. Cavalry means horses? Horses. So multiply by 23, and 109,350 infantry, so that's foot soldiers, multiply by 23. So you've got over 2 million soldiers on foot. The numbers involved in an Akshauhini division are given in the word meanings. An Akshauhini was a standard fighting force in ancient times. So interesting that they would have to have the exact numbers. Everything was according to Shastra, so even the number of horsemen and soldiers and everything had to be according to the Vedas.
Well, that's a bit fair, right?
I guess so. What fair? He's 23 and Krishna is going to have...
In terms of that unit being used strictly, it's because those laws where you had to have so many opposing, so many, so they had to...
Yeah, but they weren't, even in the Battle of Kurukshetra, it was much more on Duryodhana's side. It was more Ashwini's and Duryodhana's than on Arjuna's side. They weren't following, and here especially, Krishna is not going to bring out 23 Akshahini's soldiers. He's just going to bring out a handful, according to, I think later on it tells how many. Let's see. He got his chariot, and there's only Krishna and Balaram, and let's see. Yeah, there's only a few here. I don't remember. They could hardly see because they were like covered. I think there was just a handful. In the commentaries, it would tell more about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, verse 5-6. Nikshatat palam Krishna udvelam ivasagaram sapuram tena samrudham swajanam chabhayakvalam chintayamasa bhagavan hari karanamanushah tadeshakala nukunam svavatara prayojanam. Translation. Although Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original cause of this world, when he descended to the earth, he played the role of a human being. Thus, when he saw Jarasandha's assembled army surrounding his city like a great ocean overflowing its shores, and when he saw how his army was striking fear into his subjects, the Lord considered what his suitable response should be according to the time, place, and specific purpose of his current incarnation. Purport. The Acharyas point out that the Supreme Godhead did not have to worry about a mortal attack from Jarasandha and his soldiers. But, as stated here, Sri Krishna was playing the part of a human being, Karana Manusha, and he played the part well. This play is called Leela, the Lord's enactment of spiritual pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. Although ordinary persons may be dumbfounded by the Lord's pastimes, the devotees derive tremendous pleasure from his inimitable style of behavior. But Sridhar Swami points out that Sri Krishna thought as follows. How should I defeat Jarasandha? Should I kill the army, but not Jarasandha? Or should I kill Jarasandha and take the army for myself? Or perhaps I should just kill both of them? Lord Krishna's conclusion is described in the following verses. So the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes how Krishna was actually feeling, and what was he explains his purport a bit about how there's two things going on. There's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there's Krishna playing the part of a human being. So all throughout Krishna's Leela, you see these two things going on. At the same time, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he acts very wonderfully and amazingly, and at the same time, he acts like a human being. So in this verse, we are seeing his human behavior, and later on, we will see how he is the Supreme Lord when he kills all the armies. But now, at this point, he's thinking. God doesn't have to think, usually, about what he's going to do, but here, he's acting like a human being, in that he is thinking what he should do. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this. Uh-oh. Krishna observed Jarasandha's army, which was like an ocean overflowing its banks, going beyond its limits, and began to wonder. But did Krishna really worry about that? No. There is no necessity, because he's the cause of all causes, the great controller, Karna, appearing in a human form, Manushya. Maybe you should close the... Okay. Then what did he begin wondering about? That is described in the next four verses, what he's actually wondering about. So here's the next four verses. 7-8. Anishyami balam yeta bhuviparam samahitam magatena samanitam vishanam sarvabhupujam akshahinipi sankhyatam patasharatta kunjarai magirastu nahantavyo bhuyakarta palod dhyamam. Supreme Lord thought, since it is such a burden on the earth, I will destroy Jarasandha's army, consisting of akshauhinis, of foot soldiers, horses, chariots, and elephants, which the king of Magadha has assembled from all subservient kings and brought together here. But Jarasandha himself should not be killed, since in the future he will certainly assemble another army. Purport. After due consideration, Lord Krishna decided, since he had descended to the earth to destroy the demons, and since Jarasandha was so enthusiastic to bring all the demons to the Lord's front door, it was definitely more efficient to keep Jarasandha alive and busy. And he will do that 17 or 18 times more. I don't remember the exact number. Etarato vataro yam bhupara harnayame sarakshanaya satunam kritan ye shampathaya cha. Verse 9. This is the purpose of my present incarnation, to relieve the earth of its burden, protect the pious, and kill the impious. Verse 10. Anyapitama rakshaya dehasam priyate maya viramaya pitarmasya kale prapavata kachit. Translation. I also assume other bodies to protect religion and to end irreligion whenever it flourishes in the course of time. So these were Krishna's thoughts. Should I kill the army and not Jarasandha? Should I kill both of them? Should I just kill Jarasandha? So it seems like he was puzzled or in a dilemma. But actually he wasn't, because then his omniscience, there's the Leela potency and then there's the omniscience potency, the Vibhuti and the Leela Shaktis. And they're there at the same time, but sometimes one is prominent and sometimes the other is prominent. So Krishna, he's omniscient. It says in the beginning of Bhagavatam, Abhigya. He is completely omniscient. He's Vibhuti, Vibhuti Shakti. But at the same time, he has his Leela Shakti. And the Leela Shakti makes him sometimes forget that he's omnipotent. But then he remembers. So there are some examples of this in Krishna Leela. When Krishna, after Krishna killed Kamsa, then his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, came and they were offering prayers to Krishna. You are the Supreme Lord, you are this, you are that. And Krishna and Balaram, they were feeling a bit embarrassed in front of their parents who were offering prayers to them. So then they took the he made the Yogamaya potency come and make them forget. So he wanted them to be his mother and father. So he enjoys more the Leela Shakti than the omniscience. And Yashoda also, she was seeing the universe in Krishna's mouth. And then she was bewildered and she was thinking, oh no, now what happened to my son? And so Krishna made her forget. There is a verse in the 10th canto, 12th chapter about Agasura. The same thing happened here. And there it is stated, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Antaryami, Supersoul in the heart of everyone, heard the boys talking among themselves. So the boys came in front of Agasura and they're thinking, what is this? This looks like a nice thing to play with. And some of them were saying, no, I don't think this is a plaything. Maybe it's a snake waiting to swallow us. And actually it was a snake. And Krishna knew this and he tried to stop them from entering. And Kavi Karnapur, he says, Krishna was saying, hey boys, stop, don't go inside. It's not a mountain cave, it's a snake. But it was too late. They didn't hear Krishna's words. They didn't hear his warning because they had already fallen unconscious from inhaling the poisonous vapors. So Jiva Goswami in Priti Sundarbha, he says that Krishna, when he acts as a human being, manushya, he enjoys loving pastimes with his devotees. Sometimes it seems he becomes bewildered, that he's no longer all-knowing. But that bewilderment is a virtue. The devotees love it when Krishna becomes bewildered. It makes his pastimes more sweet. So because it brings to the devotees the bliss of spiritual love, prema, bewilderment is not a fault, because generally we think, oh, moha, bewilderment, this is a fault. This is one of the six enemies, illusion. Of course, anything in relation to Krishna is all good. So even if Krishna is bewildered, that's wonderful. Even if he steals, that's wonderful. When I was in Vrindavan, there was a group of like middle-aged people coming from some tour group to tour the temple. And they said to me, "Why does your Krishna steal? This is not good." And I said, "He steals because..." I said, "Why do you steal when you're a small child? Why do you do nonsense? Why are you mischievous?" I said, "Because you got it from him. He's the original person. And he also, when he's a child, he does pranks and he does mischief. And that's why our children also do mischief and pranks, because they got it from him. But when a child does it, he doesn't go to the court and to the jail and all that. When a child does something just out of play, and it's out of play. It's not like he was maliciously stealing. He was giving pleasure to the people he was stealing from, and they loved to see him at their house. So in the same way, when Krishna is bewildered, it gives pleasure to his devotees. So the devotees, they want to be saved by Krishna. The cowherd boys, they walked into Agasura's mouth because they were thinking, "Oh, anyway, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Krishna will save us." So they had this desire to be saved by Krishna. So they went to the mouth of Agasura. But Krishna's desire was for them not to go into the mouth of Agasura. So whose desire won out? It was the desire of the devotees. They won out over Krishna's desire. So the principle of devotees' desire to be saved by Krishna defeated Krishna's desire to protect his devotees. So these shaktis, Krishna has shaktis, he has energies, and they work sometimes independently of Krishna, his lila shakti. And he's even bewildered in thinking how wonderful it is, although he's all-knowing. Sometimes his lila shakti makes him surprised in his lila. So in this lila with Jarasandha, Krishna's human-like behavior, he was bewildered, that's his lila shakti. But later on, now again, also immediately, his vibhuti, his omniscient shakti came, and he remembered the purpose of his incarnation. And he thought, "Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll kill the armies and keep Jarasandha, who will bring me many more armies." And he did. Again, 17 more times or 18 times. So Krishna, when he was faced with the dilemma that his cowherd boys have gone into the mouth of Akasura, it was intolerable to him to be separated from his friends. And so he was, again, momentarily struck with wonder and unsure of what to do. So here's another example of how his lila shakti, his human-like behavior, came into being. And again, Jiva Goswami said that Krishna was distressed, thinking the cowherd boys are now under the control of fate. And so he was thinking and acting just like an ordinary human being. And when the sages describe these activities of Krishna, they are filled with wonder. When they see, also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a child, he was playing with his friends, and he was, oh, that was even Krishna, and they were making sand castles, or in the dirt they were making bridges and different things. And the demigods were bewildered because they're in charge of the management of the universe, and here is their boss, Krishna, and he's making these small little sand castles. So the lila shakti bewilders everyone, bewilders the demigods. They can't understand how can this omniscient personality of Godhead be playing in the dirt with his friends. So this is what's happening here also. Momentarily, he was bewildered. Prabhupada says in Krishna book, he elaborates on this bewilderment. He said that Krishna is the assurance of safety to everyone, but when he saw his friends were already out of his hands and lying in the belly of a great serpent, he became momentarily aggrieved. And he was also struck with wonder how the external energy worked so wonderfully. So Krishna was amazed by this big snake, Agasura. He began to consider how he could kill the demon at the same time save the boys and calves. He can't really cut the demon in half because the boys and calves are inside. So this requires a different kind of intelligence. Although there was no factual concern on Krishna's part, he was thinking like that. Finally, after some deliberation, he also entered the mouth of the demon. And so here's another case where Krishna was momentarily bewildered by his Leela Shakti. Then his Vibhuti Shakti comes in. Nectar of Devotion. It describes how Krishna was feeling at this point. There's a description of his feeling for his cowherd boyfriends in Vrindavan. And Krishna said to Balaram, "My dear brother, my companions were being devoured by Agasura. Hot tears poured down from my eyes. And as they were washing my cheeks, my dear elder brother, for at least one moment, I completely lost myself." So when Krishna has so much affection for his devotees that it makes him forget that he's God. It makes him lose it. He says, "I lost myself when I saw them go into the mouth of Agasura." It's so amazing that God can lose himself. Krishna lost himself. And so time, place, and circumstance. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes comment that Krishna always knows best what to do in the present and in the future. Sheshadrik. So this verse said, verse 78, said that he's going to... No, is it 78? No, 5-6. According to time, place, and purpose of his incarnation. So all these things he considers, this is one of the qualities of Krishna, to be the expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna knows what to do in present and in the future, and he takes away danger for his devotee, and at the same time, he takes away the danger for the devotee, he takes away the life of a demon. So in this case, he will kill Jarasandha's armies, which are a cause of fear for the people of Mathura. And they're very afraid because these armies are surrounding Mathura like an ocean. Just imagine that your city is surrounded by millions of soldiers. So this is what's happening. And Krishna was perplexed for a second, but then again, he lost himself. He admits to Balaram, "I lost myself at this point." Why did he lose himself? Because of his affection for his cowherd boys. He was crying to see them enter the mouth. He didn't want them to go into the mouth of Agasura. He was crying. And so he lost himself. There's one more Leela of Krishna, which is very famous, which everybody knows, the Damodara Leela. Also, there is a case there of the two Shaktis working at the same time or together, the Leela Shakti and the Vibhuti Shakti, omniscience Shakti. So Mother Yashoda, you know how she was so overwhelmed with love for Krishna. She didn't know who he was, how powerful he was, and she didn't even care to know who he was. So this is a verse 10:9-12. So when she saw Krishna was too much afraid, she threw her stick away and wanted to bind him so he wouldn't be naughty anymore. And Krishna, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, says, Krishna was begging, "Please don't beat me." He was very afraid. And Yashoda said, "Well, if you don't like getting beaten, why did you break the yogurt pot?" Krishna said, "I won't do it anymore. Just throw your stick down, please." So he was afraid of that stick. The stick of Yashoda is more powerful than Krishna, who is the most powerful thing in the universe. Then Mother Yashoda began to worry, "Oh, maybe my son will run away to the forest out of fear, anger, or distress. So I better, I'll throw away the stick and instead I'll bind him up. I'll tie him up to the mortar." So the verse of Bhagavatam 10:9-13:14 says, Krishna has no beginning, he has no end, no exterior, no interior, no front, and no rear. Of course, Yashoda doesn't think like that. But this is the truth. This is the absolute truth. So this is the tattva. In other words, he's all-pervading, the verse says, because he's not under the influence of the element of time. For him, there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times, being absolute beyond relativity. He's freed from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause and effect of everything. That our manifested person, beyond the perception of the senses, had now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. So this is describing his human behavior, that he's allowing himself to be bound, and also although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kunti, when she thought about this pastime, she was completely bewildered, even though she's a close associate of Krishna. But she, like Uddhava could see how Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and at the same time he is bewildered because Krishna was consulting him in matters of state. So Kunti is bewildered because she has this motherly affection, but at the same time she knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when she saw the scene of Krishna being afraid of Yashoda, she said, how is this possible? Fear personified is afraid of him. So then I just will read one verse from Dhammadharastakam, which describes Krishna's human-like behavior and how he was feeling in the Dhammadhar Lila. Rudantam moho necha yogmami jantam karamboja yogmena shataka netram moshashakam pachi kanta kanta stita graiva damodaram bhakti bhatam. He cries. He rubs his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes are fearful and his breathing quick. As Mother Yashoda binds his belly with ropes, he shivers in fright, and the pearl necklace shakes upon his neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, whose belly is bound by his mother's pure love, not by a rope, I offer my humble obeisances. So this is the Lila Vishesh. This is the Lila potency working. He's crying because he sees the stick in Mother Yashoda's hand, and afraid that she may strike him. He's fearful, hoping her natural empathy may save him from punishment. And he's crying. He's rubbing his eyes, trying to wipe the tears away, just like ordinary children do. Satanka netram, his fearful eyes reveal how much he's dreading punishment. And he's glancing here and there in great fear, trying to avoid. When somebody comes in front of you like death, like his mother, he saw his mother like death personified, and he was just looking for a way out, kind of, where can I go, where can I escape? The confidential pastime is revealed in this way. And he's continually sobbing, and so much that his pearl necklace is also moving. And the earrings also shaking, because you know how kids cry. Sometimes they really get into it. So Krishna got into it, and Kunti was bewildered because he wasn't pretending. It was not like he was in a drama and, oh, okay, I have to pretend to be afraid. No, he was actually afraid. He forgot himself, in this case also, in front of Mother Yashoda. So Mother Yashoda was greater than Krishna. Actually, Rishabhadev, he gives a list of who is greatest, and the greatest is the devotee. Even greater than Krishna, more powerful. So this is Krishna's desire. He likes to see his devotee glorified. Then we know that Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna. The ropes were always two fingers too short. And what was the reason for the failure here? Because bhakti bhatam. He can only be bound by love. And when her love was to such a degree, and she was perspiring, and she was exhausted, trying to bind him, then Krishna allowed himself to be bound. So bhakti bhatam. He is bound by bhakti only. And so the two fingers, one is the devotee's sincere endeavor of love and unflinching determination to attain Krishna and please him, and the other is Krishna's mercy. So this is Krishna's quality of coming under his devotee's love. Now, Jiva Goswami raises some very interesting questions. Because people get bewildered, sages get bewildered, of how Krishna, the Supreme Lord, can be the Supreme Godhead, at the same time appear like a human being. So these are the questions that Jiva Goswami raises. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading, then how is it possible Yashoda tied him with a small rope that could not even have extended the breadth of the material universe? If he's everywhere, then how can he be bound? This objection is answered in the verse by the words Martya Lingam. In order to perform his pastimes, he appeared like an ordinary human child, and he allowed himself to be bound. So Martya Lingam, that allows the Lila Shakti to overcome his Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead, personality. Question was, if he's all-pervading, how can he be bound? That's the first question. There's more. If he's all pervading, then how can he be bound? bound by a rope.
Huh? Was she going to
find him? Yeah, I know. So then the second question. At this point, someone may raise the following question. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a human-like form, then that form is certainly manifested in a limited area of space. So how can such a limited form be all-pervading? So this is the normal question that people ask is, you know, how can, if he's got a form, it's in one place, how can he be all-pervading?
That was Maimonides, Jewish commentator around the time of Shankaracharya.
Uh-huh.
He changed, previous to that, Judaism had a concept of God being a person.
Oh.
He wrote this commentary saying that since God is all-pervading,
yeah, then
he couldn't be an individual. And then Judaism became like impersonal.
Right. So the answer is given again in that verse 9, 12, 13, 14 by the word adhok sajam. It's beyond the perception of the senses. So the form of the Lord cannot be properly understood by the senses of the conditioned soul. So we're trying to measure with our senses. Okay, he's there. He's there. He's right in that place. But actually he's much more than there in that place. Much more is going on than meets the eye. This is where faith comes in, that we have faith in something that is beyond the power of our senses to perceive. Now, this is one ingredient of faith. He cannot be understood by the senses nor by any other process for acquiring knowledge available to the conditioned souls. So because he's inconceivable, he may appear to be limited within time and space. In actual fact, he is all-pervading. So therefore, he's described as avyaktam, unmanifested. We cannot unmanifest it to our senses. He's avyaktam. Here's another question. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading, even though his form appeared like that of an ordinary human being, then why did he not reveal his all-pervading nature to his mother, Yashoda Devi? Now that's an easy question, I think. So maybe you all know the answer to that. Why didn't he reveal? Of course he did, he tried, but it didn't work. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. Yes, and this is answered by the words Atmaja Matva, because it would interfere with her loving relationship with Krishna if she knew that he was God. It would interfere. And so many times she saw he lifted Govardhan Hill, she saw, but her response was to massage his hand. In his mouth she saw the universe, and her response was, oh, okay, just don't eat dirt again. So it was she wasn't impressed with any of these antics of Krishna. Sometimes he would try to, you know, pull his Supreme Personality of Godhead status. There's a story in Vrindavan. One day he was playing with the cowherd boys, and he lost the game, and he had to carry someone. And he said, you know, today I just can't do it. I'm really feeling tired. I don't want to carry. They said, no, you lost. You have to carry him. He said, anyway, I'm God. They said, yeah, right, you're God. So then Krishna showed his form as Narayan, and everyone was worshiping him, Vaikuntha, and the cowherd boys were thinking, my, wow, Narayan. And then Krishna came back to his form, and his friends said, okay, today you don't have to carry, but tomorrow you'll have to carry. So they also weren't impressed. The Brijabhasis are not impressed with Krishna's supreme Godhead at all. So that's the Lila Shakti. He doesn't want to disturb their blissful exchange of prema between himself and his mother. So there's another question that is brought up by some acharyas, that if Krishna, this is our question that we could ask possibly. So if Krishna is like, you know, he's enjoying with Yashoda, he's crying in front of Yashoda, and suppose we say a prayer to him, oh Krishna, please hear my prayer. Is he going to hear our prayer? So that's like a question for us. And one of the acharyas, I can't remember which one, brings up this question that, well, you know, if he's, you know, completely forgetting himself, and, you know, what happens to our prayers? It's kind of like, you know, when you make a phone call to somebody and it's busy and it's on hold, you're put on hold, but then as soon as he's, and then it comes after a while. So he does hear our prayers. It may not be immediately, but for him everything is immediate. For us it takes time, because we're in this material world, there everything is immediate. The Lila Shakti, the omniscient Shakti. But here there is past, present, future. So he does hear our prayers. So Krishna's response will be in line, his response to Jarasandha will be in line with his purpose, his incarnation. He'll kill the armies, not Jarasandha, to make a shortcut in his killing mission, to remove the burden of the earth. Just like the same thing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There is a verse in the third canto, first chapter, verse 43. Despite his being the Lord and always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, Krishna refrained from killing the Kurus, although they committed all sorts of sins, and although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements carried out under the dictation of three kinds of false pride. So, in spite of his mission, when Draupadi was being insulted, he could have immediately killed all the Kurus. He didn't have to wait. And there's two reasons why he didn't kill them all at once. And actually, because of that insult to Draupadi, that was the cause, the main cause of the Battle of Kurukshetra that was announced at her birth. She will be the cause of destroying so many men. So why did he not interfere? Of course he interfered. He gave her the sari. Why didn't he just kill them? Why didn't he chastise the Kurus immediately? The silence of the Lord did not mean he excused the offenses, Prabhupada said. There were so many other kings besides the Kurus who were on the earth, and they were very proud, and they were doing all kinds of nonsense. So he wanted to wait to get them all together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Again, Prabhupada used this word, just to make a shortcut in his killing mission. So the battle of Kurukshetra, all of them came together at the same time. He didn't have to go here and there all over the earth chasing them. They all came at one time, and that's why he killed them then. And Prabhupada paraphrases Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, the 11th chapter. I have willingly descended on the earth in my capacity of inexorable time in order to decrease the unwanted population. So this is a beautiful translation of these verses 32 to 34 in Bhagavad Gita. I shall finish all those who have assembled here except you, the Pandavas. This killing does not wait for you to take part in it. It is already arranged. All will be killed by me. If you want to become famous as the hero of the battlefield and thus enjoy the booty of war, then O Savyasachi, just become the immediate cause of this killing and thus take the credit. I have already killed all the great warriors, Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata, Karna, many other great generals. Do not worry, fight the battle. Be famous as a great hero. So Krishna had two purposes. Of course, there's his incarnation to remove the burden of the earth. But he did want also Arjuna to be the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. So the same thing with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted Srila Prabhupada to be the hero. Lord Chaitanya spread the movement all over India. And Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada became the hero. That prediction was there for many years, and nobody knew how it was going to happen in Gaudiya Math. They couldn't figure out who was going to do this. But Prabhupada was the one. He came and he did it. And one time on a morning walk in Vrindavan, the devotee said that to Srila Prabhupada, that it seems that Lord Chaitanya, he spread this Krishna consciousness all over India, but he left it for you to spread all over the world. And Prabhupada's response was, yes, he said, and for you. So we also have that mission, same mission as Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's more merciful than Krishna. Of course, Krishna just killed everyone. And we want to kill the demonic intelligence of the people. We don't go out and kill everyone. That would not work in this age of Kali, but we do try to preach. And these books were described as time bombs. They come off, they're set off, and they explode in somebody's hands, and the person becomes a devotee. And so we'll stop here. Any questions or comments on these verses? Three kinds of?
False pride.
False pride. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is, I didn't say them, did I? Yeah, that was one of the commentators. Wealth. And I don't know if I could find that. Okay, I'll have to tell you after, because I can't seem to find it. It was in the yeah, I did mention it. The kings had three kinds of false pride. And I remember, oh, here it is. It's in this purport. Wealth, education, and followers. Nadanam, najanam, nasundari, kavidamva. Wealth, education, and followers. That's the purport of 3.143. Three kinds of false. So they're proud of their wealth, education, and followers. Lord Chaitanya talks about that. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. And Queen Kunti, Janma Aishraya Shuta Shibir, she expands it to four. Janma Aishraya Shuta and Shri. She includes beauty in that list. Yes?
You talked about like the desire of becoming hero, like God
wants He wants the devotee to be the hero.
So like if I desire to be hero, then it's fine?
That's good, yeah. Prabhupada said that if you do it for Krishna. Then it's fine. If you do it for Krishna, that's very good. Because Prabhupada, he gave the example that people write books because they want to be famous. And so he said, actually I'll give that in today's lecture. That's the example in today's lecture about kama. He says people have desire, kama. So because of this desire, they have to work very hard. So people work hard to write books to be famous. He said, so I also work hard to write books. And he says, and if a devotee will work hard to write books to be famous, that's okay. It's for Krishna. Even if you want to be famous. But you have to do it for Krishna. Be a famous servant of Krishna. Be a famous pujari. Be a famous kirtaniya. Be a famous donator of money. Build a temple like that. So distribute books. Then you can be the hero. Be the best book distributor in the Christmas, if you have a Christmas marathon, I don't know. Be the, whatever. Then you can be the hero. Be a hero to save somebody from the material world. Make them a devotee. That's heroic. Another way of being a hero is to stand up against Maya. And Prabhupada said this is heroic. A hero is someone who can actually remain a devotee and say no to Maya. This is to be a hero. This is heroic. So yes, you can be a hero for Krishna. You can protect devotees. Whatever is in your means, you can do it for Krishna. Be a scientist and prove that life comes from life if you're a scientist. So many things you can do according to your field that Krishna has given you. Now you use that. Whatever field you have, that field can be dovetailed with for Krishna. Or the goal should be to glorify Krishna. And then you become a hero. Any other questions? All right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.